We will hear argument in number 21-1906, Rapifi Vendor Logistics against IntelliCentrix. Mr. Hogan, please begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The district court erred when it found claim one of the 268 patent ineligible under 35 U.S.C. section 101 on a Rule 12b6 motion to dismiss. Now, there exist three separate ways for Repify to prevail here. If this court finds Repify on any of these three grounds, then the district court ruling should be reversed and the case remanded. The district court made three separate errors in applying the Alice test. Two errors going to Alice step one and one error going to Alice step two. If your honors will permit me, I'd like to begin my discussion on Alice step two. Repify contends and contended below that the presence and function of the electronic badge in claim one is an inventive concept, such that the claim is patent eligible. Below the district court, the parties disputed whether or not the electronic badge in method claim one could function dynamically, or as we termed it, in real time. Now, in resolving that dispute, the district court resolved that fact issue against non-movement Repify. I want to talk about the patent disclosure now. The 268 patent specification describes a dynamic function by electronic badge in the claim in a few places. I'm referring to the record now. For example, appendix...
Can I just ask, are you suggesting there was something procedurally inappropriate about a decision on what amounts to a claim construction question of a 12b6 motion?
I am, Your Honor. I am. But just like I mentioned, because there was dispute below on whether or not the badge could, in fact, function in real time. Repify took the position that it could by virtue of the claim language and disclosure in the patent. And IntelliCentrix said, no, that's not how it works.
Claim construction can't be decided on a motion to dismiss?
Claim construction, I think, certainly can be. I think this court's precedent says that's allowed. I'm making a different point, Your Honor, and that is that there was a fact dispute which is totally different, I think.
Okay. Fact dispute, something that underlies claims? What is the relevance of the fact dispute?
Only Judge Stahl, that on a motion to dismiss, all facts in the well-pleaded complaint must be resolved in favor of the non-movement, and the non-movement below was Repify, not IntelliCentrix.
And so the question, help me understand a little bit more. Had the court found this fact in your favor, how would it show that there was an inventive concept under Alice Step 2?
Yes, Your Honor. Had the court found in our favor on the fact that the electronic badge functions in real time and the claims, it would have meant that's an inventive concept in that there's no evidence in the record that electronic badges in vendor connection technology could ever act in real time.
I had a hard time with your argument because you add in the claims. That sounds like claim construction.
I understand, Your Honor. I'm having trouble with that comment and from Judge Toronto. I'm not sure everything goes to what's within the claims is claim construction. I mean, I think the meaning of the claim and the meaning of a claim term in a claim, right, could be claim construction, obviously. But the physical ability of something to operate in the claim, I think, is totally different.
Can I ask you a question? Why are you inserting in the claim that the badge operates in real time in the claim, and therefore that's an inventive concept? The district court judge said the claim doesn't require real time. Isn't that what the district court judge said?
Not exactly, Your Honor. The district court found, I think it's page 18 or 19 of the record, I can get you there. The district court found that the electronic badge was an off-the-shelf conventional component. And therefore, because allegedly there was no improvement to that technology, that structure itself, then there could be no inventive concept. That was the thrust of the district court's opinion. You can direct you to that. Apparently, it's appendix page 18 to 19.
Because the specification said that the badge was commercially available smart cards, for example, with an e-paper writable display, right?
Yes, Judge.
Okay. And so your point is that that was an error because it should have been appreciated that the electronic badge is not off the shelf?
No, no, Your Honor. Electronic badge is off the shelf. I guess our point is, so claim one is a method claim, right? It involves 13 steps. And our point is the electronic badge in the method operates in real time. And that fact was not appreciated by the district court. And that fact itself is an error, right? Because that's what the patent discloses, we contend.
Where in your claim does it talk about real time?
Yes, Your Honor. Two answers to that question, Your Honor. First, it doesn't use the words in real time. They're not literally there. We contend that the actual word, the context, evinces in real time functionality. I would point beyond, Your Honor, to at least step J. I'm on appendix 128, column 7, about
the recording. J, recording by the credentialing platform, geolocation data of the visitor during the visitor's presence in the predefined area?
Yes, Your Honor. That's one step that reflects it, and as well, step M, removing from the badge display the indicia showing access by the visitor is authorized. Right? That relates back to step J. And that's evincing the badge changing in real time based on the visitor's presence in or out of the predefined area.
Okay, but you don't really have to say real time. It's right in the claim. The things you're relying on, and people have different views of real time. Some people might say it's within a few seconds. Some people say it's within a few minutes. Maybe real time here in this context could be within a few minutes. You've got J and K. I mean, obviously, there has to be something, you know, timely about it. It's recording during the presence, and it's removing when the visitor is authorized. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
So you think that the district court judge ignored these limitations?
I think, in essence, with all due respect, Your Honor, yes, I think so. Well, they were given a short shrift. And I do want to point Your Honors to the appendix 127 of the previous page, column 6, lines 13 to 15, which I'll read that. It says, once the visitor checks out, the indicia showing access by the visitor is authorized, is removed from the display on the electronic badge. Further evidence that the badge operates in it's a dynamic functionality as described in the specification. There's another site I can give you, and it's claimed here in claim one.
So your view is that this is an inventive concept?
Yes, Your Honor.
When you say the badge operates with dynamic functionality, what do you mean? Are you really just saying that, you know, when the person is leaving, the badge, you know, shows they're no longer authorized to be there?
Yes, Your Honor. Exactly.
Would that happen in a conventional, non-automatic, I guess how the people were previously admitted into buildings and restricted access locations where there was actually a person at a reception desk? Badge would be taken away, right?
But your first question, Your Honor, did it happen in conventional systems? No, it did not. Because we've all walked into a hospital and they give you a paper badge and you slap it on your chest. The automatic or the in real time removal of the authorization, whether that takes your information off the badge and it's blank or you get a big red X because you're over time or you left the area you're authorized for, that depends on the administrator's particular rule within any given system. But that didn't happen in the past. You're right, Your Honor. And your other question about, can someone just take it?
I had to turn badges in at the end after being allowed into a location. I've had to turn the badge in to the person who gave it to me initially. I think I understand your argument. Can I try articulating what I think your argument is? You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think you're saying there's a specific problem that occurs when you have automatic entry of a person into a building without having someone at a reception desk or a printer there. And that problem is that, I guess when the person leaves, the badge doesn't, you know, the badge needs to be able to dynamically change, or there's a problem because they've got a badge that says they're authorized, but they've left. So they should have to re-undergo the process of seeking access to the building. And so you've got this problem, and so you solve the problem by changing their display. Do I have that right?
Yes, Your Honor, you do. I see I'm running up against my time here. And I want to make one additional point on step two, then I will move on. And that is that in the complaint here, the complaint alleges in real time functionality by the badge as well. And if you would go, please, to page 33 of the appendix. I'm sorry, 32 of the appendix. And it's paragraph 7, it's right towards the bottom. There's a sentence there. I'll read it to you when you're on the cup. And I'll just read to the bottom of the sentence, the bottom part. The claimed invention's electronic identification technology facilitates real-time credentialing, verification, and physical vendor badges via an electronic badge remotely connected to a user's smartphone, and it continues. In addition, the next page, appendix page 33, at paragraph 9, there's another vermin in the complaint. And it's actually all of paragraph 9, but I'll just read the last sentence, which I think is strictly on point here, and that is, the claim method facilitates knowledge of which users are on site in real time or after the fact with detailed visit analytics. Again, on a rule of public six motion to dismiss, those statements, you know, all plead the facts and the claim must be taken as true. And I don't
say they're taken as true, but the response is that automating something that previously was manual is itself an abstract idea. Making the badge go from, yes, you're authorized, to when the person leaves, no, you're not authorized, is itself an abstract idea. And an abstract idea itself can't be the inventive concept. How do you respond to that?
I understand the question, Your Honor. I would reply to that having the communication between the phone and the badge is controlled by the platform. Are a combination of elements that are novel, right? There's no evidence in the record that says that is itself ever been done by human beings, or having a badge that could change in real time has been done by human beings. And so I would say no, that's not simply automating what human beings have done in the past.
So in your view, just to make sure I understand, we've established that badge is conventional, right? The patent specification says so. And you're saying but it wasn't conventional to change whatever was on that badge in real time or something close to real time.
Yes, Judge, exactly. I'm
Mr. Hogan, you've used most of your rebuttal time. I'll give you 3 minutes on rebuttal, but we should hear from Mr. Coburn now.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Repify's entire appeal boils down to two arguments. First, that its invention improved computer operation because the passage in the specification says so. And second, that the claimed use of a rewritable electronic badge was new. Neither of these arguments refute the district court's conclusion that Claim 1 is directed to a longstanding human practice, admittedly longstanding human practice, implemented with generic technology.
Mr. Coburn, I want to ask you quickly about Mr. Hogan's last point, which he says there's nothing in the patent or the record to support the idea that these conventional rewritable badges could be rewritten in real time or near real time. Is that correct? Do you agree with that?
No, Your Honor. Repify can't claim dynamic and real-time functionality as an inventive concept because Repify did not invent that functionality, did not invent the badge. The specification, if we look at the specification on column 5, line 65, it says that the prior art badge was rewritable. that the badge display changed. It was dynamic. It was rewritable. That's nothing new. And even the manual process, if we look at column one, line 34 through 36, it says, in the past, when such workers referring to the visitors, finished the job, the badge is surrendered or the badge is dated so that the person no longer may access the facility. So the badge display is changing in the manual process. It's changing in the automated process. There's no clarification in the claim whether this is in real time, whether it's dynamic. The only changing of the display mentioned in the claim is displaying that the visitor has authorization and then removing it. It's binary. There's no dynamic constant changing going on in the claim. So does that answer your question, Your Honor?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
You were talking about the alleged advantages discussed, I think, in column six of the patent. Do you have an argument beyond what the district court said? The district court said that advantages were the result of automation and that the automation itself is an abstract idea, so those advantages can't form an inventive concept. That's how I understand the district court.
I would agree with the district court, Your Honor, on that point. These, you know, at most are the inherent benefits of applying the abstract idea on a smartphone, an electronic badge. You know, you're going to increase the efficiency of that process, of course, by implementing it with this technology. But the court has said many times that simply invoking the smartphone as a tool, invoking the electronic badge as a tool, is not going to be sufficient. And really at step one, and my understanding of Repify's argument is that this improvement that column six is talking about relates to step one in some way. But as a preliminary matter, this column six argument doesn't really have any bearing on the step one analysis in this case, because step one turns on what claim one as a whole is directed to. And Repify has never argued, either here in its briefing before this court or in the district court, that claim one is directed to any kind of improved computer. Repify has said, including in its briefing before this court, that the patent is directed to and claims a method for credentialing visitors to access controlled buildings by an access administrator. That's in its briefing on pages 7 and 32 of its opening appellate brief. It's in its complaint on page 32 of the joint appendix. And it's in column 1, lines 56 through 58 of the patent. So when we take what Repify is saying the patent is directed to, we know that's a longstanding practice because the patent says it is. The patent in column 1, lines through 11 through 36, makes clear that it was common for human receptionists to perform this method with literal paper badges. And that's really the same type of abstract process, longstanding practice that the court found unpatentably abstract in Erickson versus TCL. The court in that case said that it's repeatedly found unpatentable method claims involving the steps of requesting access, receiving and evaluating that request, and granting or denying that request. And here we have all three of those steps in the claim. The court in Erickson specifically identified office buildings that allow certain employees entrance to only certain floors as an example of an abstract concept pervasive in human activity. And Repify's reply brief never addresses that precedent, and that's in the first sentence of our response brief. We think that's pretty telling. Since Repify is not disputing that Claim 1 is directed to a longstanding practice, there's really no basis to disturb the district court's holding on Step 1. And as a matter of law, Claim 1 is directed to the longstanding practice and abstract idea of controlling access through credentialing.
So I ask you, in column six, one of the specific advantages identified in the patent is that the electronic communication via, for example, NFC between the smartphone and the electronic badge improves processing speed and efficiency since separate logging in of data is not required. Why does that not create an inventive concept?
Well, we think that that's talking about improving the process. And I realize just before that it says improving computer operation, but frankly, it doesn't make any sense to me how using electronic communication improves the computer. It seems to be saying that it's improving the speed and efficiency of the credentialing process, the manual process, by doing it on a computer. So we would not say that that involves an inventive concept, but in any event, NFC doesn't appear anywhere in the claim language. We know that's not required by the claim. And if we're looking at column six, I would just note here that the simply stating in the specification that you're improving the computer operation, you know, the court has said that that's not going to be sufficient. You've got to describe how you're solving a computer
problem. You do have a how. It says there's no requirement to, because there's a requirement to enter enrollment information only once, right? Isn't that the how? And the point, I think, is that how relates to improving the process, not the computer.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. That would be improving the process. And again, not mentioned in the claim at all. There's no requirement to only enter enrollment information only once. But even if we read it that way, that isn't improving any technological process. That's not improving a computer. That's improving the manual process of credentialing by automating it with a smartphone and electronic badge. And I would just note for, you know, the court has repeatedly said that merely adding computer functionality to increase speed or efficiency, literally that same benefit, speed or efficiency of the process, does not confer patent eligibility on an otherwise abstract idea. Again, that's out of Erickson versus TCL. And really what this is not any kind of improvement to a computer or smartphone or electronic badge. But what this court identified in Electric Power Group versus Alstom as, quote, an asserted advance in the use to which existing computer capabilities could be put. And that's exactly what Repify is telling us in their briefing. They're saying, look, this is a new use. This is a new use of the smartphone, new use of the electronic badge. But that is not sufficient for patent eligibility. There's no improvement to the technological process. And if, unless the court has any further questions on step one, I was going to move to step two, and we've already briefly addressed it. But, even assuming, well, I would start with the court had mentioned and asked Mr. Hogan whether or not the language whether or not the claims require dynamic and real time. I won't beat a dead horse here. We don't believe that the claim requires that. The claim only requires this binary change. But even reading the claim to require that, as we've already said, Repify did not invent that concept. It's already described as generic, routine, and conventional. If Repify had invented anything related to an electric badge, we would expect to see something about it in the specification. Specification doesn't tell us anything about how to improve or make an electronic badge. It just literally tells us where to buy one. Column 5, lines 62 through 67, identifies by make and model what the badge is. And again, we know that it was dynamic and could change in real time because it says it was rewritable. And I would note that this court has actually addressed this specific function in many cases in the context of a patentee claiming that it's an inventive concept, and it's rejected this specific function. In Two-Way Media versus Comcast, court was reviewing a patent directed to monitoring the delivery of real-time information to users. The court said that collecting information, analyzing it, and displaying results is an abstract idea, even when undertaken in real time. So there the court's actually finding that this is an abstract idea in and of itself. And in support of that proposition, the court cited Electric Power Group versus Alstom. And in that decision, the court held that detecting events on an interconnected electric power grid in real time and displaying dynamic stability metrics was not even arguably an inventive concept. And finally, I would note that Alice itself refused to recognize an inventive concept based on a computerized function of updating records, quote, in real time as transactions are entered. So that was a benefit in Alice of applying intermediated settlement on a computer. You could get the records updated in real time. Humans could not do that. Nevertheless, that was not enough for an inventive concept. This isn't a situation where we have an ordered combination, either an inventive ordered combination. Repify's position seems to be that unless the patent admits that every element of the claim existed in the prior art and their language as specifically arranged and claimed, then the claimed arrangement automatically constitutes an inventive ordered combination. And that's never been the law. This court has rejected that very argument in Western Express Bank Shares versus Green Dot Corporation. The court said that the absence of the exact invention in the prior art does not prove the existence of an inventive concept. And that accords with the Supreme Court's recognition in Diamond versus Deere that the novelty of the process is of no relevance. We're not looking at whether this exact combination existed in the prior art. That's not the inquiry. And the ordered combination is not simply the combination of a longstanding practice with generic technology. As Alice put it, transformation into patent-eligible application requires more than simply stating the abstract idea while adding the words apply it using generic technology. And this isn't a situation like in Bascom where you had a combination that actually improved an existing technological process. The technology in Bascom involving filtering content on the computer, on the internet, you know, there were many methods in the prior art that already existed, and Bascom was improving that method by combining, you know, the advantages of the prior methods and discarding the disadvantages. There is no pre-existing technological process that's being improved here, and there's certainly nothing in the specification that suggests that a particular combination is resulting or producing some type of inventive concept. The only thing discussed in the specification that is the improvement is, hey, we should do this on a smartphone. We should do this with an electronic badge. And the court addressed a similar argument in Universal Secure. The court said nothing in the specification suggesting or any other factual basis for a plausible inference as needed to avoid dismissal on a Rule 12b6 motion that the claimed combination of conventional components achieves more than the expected sum provided by each component. That's exactly what we have here. The combination did not create any inventive concepts. It certainly didn't create dynamic real-time functionality. And if there's any doubt about whether this is an order combination, I mean, the specification even says column 4, lines 55 through column 5, line 3, that certain steps like requests for access and approvals may occur in any order or simultaneously, which is really the opposite of ordered. It's not even specified to be in that exact ordering. And for these reasons, we would ask the court to affirm, unless the court has any further questions, I have nothing further.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hogan, you have a couple of minutes, I think.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to address quickly a couple of points raised by Mr. Coburn. And first of all, there's no requirement that the patentee invented the electronic badge or a smartphone, and nowhere has Repify claimed that. Claim one is a method claim. It is, in fact, an ordered combination. That's being overlooked here, and I think the district court overlooked that very point. Again, the use of visitor geolocation is a way to, you know, monitor and manage visitor action in these control facilities. That's nothing that the record does not show that human beings ever did that, right? And I don't think that whether or not it's in the priority is the point. The point is, does the record in this case on a Rule 36 motion dismissed show that human beings can do that? And it doesn't show that we would submit. And again, Mr. Coburn raised the point that, well, you know, the improvements in column 6 of the patent at appendix 127 doesn't improve technology itself. And this is, I'm morphing over to step one here. But this court has held that patentable improvements are not limited to physical components alone. I mean, that's the EnFish case and the CardioNet case. One thing I think Mr. Coburn conceded was that, you know, maybe they were improving the process. So column 6 of the patent is not trying to present or disclose it's a new processor or it's a new architecture of computers. That's not what the patent is directed to. It's a method claim, a method of vendor credentialing. And this is stating merely it is improving computer operation in vendor credentialing technology, right? That's the point of that disclosure. And I think the district court, again, overlooked that. And I want to address step one. I think we talked about step two enough, and I only have a minute to go. The district court, in looking at the claim, I think committed a reversal error by viewing the claim too remotely, you know, and sort of untethered to the claim language. And by doing that, the court considered the claim was just, well, credentialing visitors and check-in and check-out. And I think the appendix, I want to say it's page 12, you know, the court writes, analysis Mayo step one inquiry focused not on the individual specific elements of the claim. Instead, all the elements taken as a whole. And I think by doing that, it just figured, oh, this is credentialing. Oh, he's been doing this forever. This is nothing inventive. But this court has held in the Bascom case that inventive concept may arise in one or more individual claim limitations or in the order combination of limitations. And that is what we are arguing before the court. And with that, I think I'm going to yield the remaining 10 seconds.
Thank you. And we'll end there. And our thanks to both counsel, and the case is submitted.